This is WMUK's Let's Hear It, Music of the Moment in West Michigan. I'm Kara Lawrence. This Sunday, a group called Octocelli will take the stage at the First Baptist Church in downtown Kalamazoo for a 3 p.m. concert of music for cello. So here to talk about it are cellists Anne Sherfield and David Peshlakai. Welcome to WMUK.
Thank you.
Thank you.
David, may I ask you to begin the story with how Octocelli came together?
Well, I was approached by Mary Lamb Rodriguez of the Bach Festival, formerly of the Bach Festival, and I teach at Kalamazoo College, and I had had some of my students perform on the Bach Festival lunch program there, and so I asked her, you know, could we continue this collaboration, and she had announced that one of her favorite pieces that she always wanted to have performed was the Bachianas Brasileiras, number 5, for 8 cellos and soprano. And I had told her, I said, well, ironically enough, I'm in a cello ensemble in the Kalamazoo area, and I'm sure they would love to perform that, but we would need a singer. And of course, with her access to the Bach Festival Chorus, you know, she said, I'll make it happen. So she got a hold of Caitlin Spencer, and we performed that piece in April. And it was such a great experience, you know, for both the players and the audience. We decided, you know, this needs to be done again. And so Betsy Start is in the ensemble as well, and for those of you familiar, she's certainly one very capable of creating programs and recitals and venue spaces. And so she found the space at First Baptist Church for this coming Sunday at 3 o'clock. And so we had one piece on the program, but we obviously needed other pieces as well. And I think it was Betsy's idea to sort of make it a cello progressive concert where it starts off actually with one cello.
One, okay.
And then grows 2, 3, 4, and all the way up to 8, and then actually, and then 8 with soprano. So this piece, the program will actually start, yeah, with one piece. I'll be playing a piece, ironically, by Betsy Start, and then we will finish the program with the Bachianas Brasileiras with Caitlin and all 8 of us on stage.
I love the name Octocelli. you get a fun sort of visual of an octopus with right. a musical component. And so this is an ensemble, a standing ensemble for some time.
It's a fairly new ensemble. And I think actually the Octocelli part is probably more appropriate for this program rather than the name of the group, because it was sort of brought up like, well, what happens when we do a recital, but we don't do it with 8 of us? So we're still kind of in the process of figuring out what to call us. But definitely for this program, there will be 8 cellos, and it'll be a very fun and exciting program, very mixed and varied program.
Now, you are principal cellist of the Kalamazoo Symphony,
yes,
which is a major musical role to play in our community, as well as on faculty at Kalamazoo College. Elizabeth Start is also a member of the KSO.
As well as Nola Matthews-Stoll.
I was going to ask about the rest of the group members or the performers on Sunday and how they're associated.
So the members of the symphony, or members of the ensemble, are members of Battle Creek Symphony, the Kalamazoo Philharmonia, and the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra.
I think that's all, everyone.
Yeah.
I think I've played with almost everybody in Battle Creek. Almost everybody has. David used to be in Battle Creek, and that's where I first knew him. I've known Sylvia as the principal in Battle Creek, and Luke used to play over there regularly. He hasn't recently.
Right.
But so we've all, I mean, it's a community group of people that have played together over the years, over many years at different times.
It's pretty impressive to put you all in one room and realize how much training, years of training and experience are all together in one place. And of course, on stage this Sunday at 3 o'clock. Well, as you mentioned, David, the program begins with just one cello, and now I'm looking at it, I see that you are the first performer, mm-hmm. and the piece is by Elizabeth Start.
Right. Initially, you know, Betsy was putting together this program, and she said, well, you know, David will start because, well, he's David. And I thought, and he can pick a piece, and if he doesn't like, you know, if he doesn't want to pick a piece, Betsy suggested that she would play one of her pieces. And so then I emailed her back. I said, well, would it be okay if I played one of your pieces? And she seemed to be very thrilled with that idea. And I've been meaning to do it for quite a while and just looking for a venue and an opportunity to do it. I've got several of her pieces sitting on my library music stand. So then we decided to play this piece, Echoes in Life. It was a commission for the Elgin Symphony where Betsy plays. And it was a fundraiser raffle kind of piece. Someone basically bid to have a piece written for them.
Really?
And so this is for one of the big sponsors of the Elgin Symphony. And as it turns out, there's a little bit of a Native American background for the person who won, which is kind of appropriate since I'm as well Native American. And so it's kind of fun and exciting to have that kind of, you know, connection as well with this piece. Not knowing the composers, hearing the Native American elements in it, and it'll be a fun start of the program.
Well, can we get into that a little bit more? From what I know about Native American melodies, they're often pentatonic, or
this one is mostly Yes, I think the melody that is inserted inside of it is slightly pentatonic, but it's mostly a drum rhythm, which happens with some left-hand pizzicato. So I'm playing with the bow and then plucking as well an open string in my own accompaniment. And it's that kind of drum beat, I think, that is really kind of between the very modal melody and then the drum beat sort of giving that reminiscence of Native song.
This piece, Echoes in Life, begins the program Sunday at 3:00 at First Baptist Church in downtown Kalamazoo, a program called Cello Explosion. And listeners, Betsy was kind enough to email me a reference recording. She made it in her own practice studio and was just putting it together, I think, to help David, right, to give you a performance idea of it.
Yes.
So I thought we would, since she shared that with us, we could listen to a little bit of Betsy playing her own piece, which will be performed. Is it a premiere yet?
No, she's not only written and performed this, but she's also, I believe, recorded this.
Okay, so an established piece.
I think an established piece, yeah. But still only, I'd say, about a year, maybe at most 2 years old.
All right.
Still very young.
Well, let's hear this new work by Elizabeth Start. So, David, what we're hearing there is part of the section you were talking about with the
Native American influence, yeah. With the left-hand pizzicato you heard just there at the end, it's sort of in the middle of the piece, but it's kind of reminiscent of the drum beating and then that very modal melody on top of it, very small range, which is, you know, indicative of folk and or Native song.
This piece is called Echoes in Life, and it's by Kalamazoo composer and cellist Betsy Start. And it starts the program this Sunday at 3 o'clock at First Baptist Church, in a program featuring the glory of the cello. It's called Cello Explosion. And David, right in just 3 minutes or so of this piece, I heard so many things the cello can do. Accompany itself, play many registers. It's just an incredible instrument the more you think about it.
Yeah, it's very exciting. And that's kind of one of the fun things of why cellists love to get together and play in ensembles of various sizes, because, yeah, we have such a very extended range. We can play into the viola range, we can play into the violin range, and we have that low vocal range. So we cover the entire vocal range, as it were, from soprano all the way down to the bass. And then, as well, you know, all the different effects that you had said, the pizzicato, the harmonics that were at the very beginning, kind of giving a very distorted, almost electronic kind of sound. Those are also available to us. And we'll be doing some of that, some fun things as well. I think we're tapping the cellos in one of the pieces.
The body of the cello actually makes a decent drum sound.
Exactly. So that will be in the Leroy Anderson that we'll be doing. It's a very versatile instrument. And when there's more of us, I think it sort of expands the opportunities for a composer or arranger. It's a good effect.
And how many times have people come up to you and said, cello's my favorite instrument?
Many, many times. A lot of violin players say that too. But the other thing they always say is, why didn't you take the flute? Because it's so awkward to carry around. So I get both of those.
Very common comments, yeah. What does it actually take to become a proficient cellist?
Many, many hours of practice, and fine teachers are a big help. And I find actually playing with other people helps too, because you help each other to learn how to play better.
So, before we went on the air, you mentioned Grace Field as a teacher, mentor. I've talked to Grace before. She's a, you know, one of those people in our community that has committed so much time to music that the community has changed because of her, I think. Could you talk about your experience with her?
I started with her when I was 13. Didn't really know that much about, I mean, I'd been playing the cello, but I wasn't very proficient yet. She was very kind, but she taught me a lot. And over the years, I mean, I stayed with her for a long time. And then when my daughter was 4 years old, she taught my daughter in the Suzuki method. So I've been around Grace for a long time, and I've played the Proper Trio with her, Proper Requiem, with Grace. We performed that a couple times. And so it's just been really nice to have her around the community, and she's still well-respected.
Yeah. And absolutely. Yeah, and funnily enough as well, the concept of this ensemble is sort of a reflection of her group. She has a group of cellists of her students that have gotten together and created a cello ensemble called Grace Notes, of course. And I think our group was a little bit in response, you know, to that. You know, we saw what music they were doing and how fun it was. And so, yeah, in some ways, we're very grateful for Grace for getting us together as well.
In this day and age, is it any difficulty to find music for multiple cellos?
In this day and age with the computers, no. Not at all. There is so much music out there available for almost any kind of ensemble size. You have to do a little bit of searching, but there's in our program, for example, and for the three cellos, there's a group, I believe, based in New York, called Break of Reality. Three cellists and a drummer, and they do some stuff for three cellos. And so Nola found their music, and that will also be on the program. So there's going to be a little bit of rock music. on the program.
All right, well, let's get back to the program. Why don't we recap what we know so far, which is you're starting with Echoes in Life by Betsy Start. And then I'll tell folks up next is a duo of Luke Cook and Sylvia Sitarane and music of Kummer, who I believe is a Mozart contemporary. And they'll bust out a theme from an opera called Der Schweigkampf. And then comes these settings for three, which are based on the sort of rock cello ensemble you're talking about here.
Yeah, the trio portion of the program, they'll have two pieces, the rock tune from the Break of Reality group, and then as well they're also going to be doing a rag by Scott Joplin.
Well,
again, very varied.
I happen to have this Joplin ragged time piece queued up here in the keyboard version. We'll hear Dick Hyman play the Sycamore and come back with cellists Ann Sherfield and David Peschlakai. Scott Joplin tune called The Sycamore. And if you tuned in during the music, I'm talking with cellists Ann Sherfield and David Peschlakai. They and six other cellists will appear Sunday at 3:00 at First Baptist Church in downtown Kalamazoo in a cello explosion concert featuring octocelli. We're talking about the works on the program, and the Joplin piece we just heard will be heard as a cello trio transcription. And if you've been listening to performance today, in the last week, you heard another ragtime piece, William Bolcom's Ghost Rag, arranged for a string quartet. It sounds wonderful on strings, and let's just say strings can do anything a piano can do, especially when you get three of them together.
Yep, exactly. Well, and with a quartet, you have four hands playing instruments as opposed to two hands on a piano. So we can cover pretty much the same thing.
So we're moving up from one solo cello to two to three, and the program continues with a quartet of David Peschlakai, Betsy Start, Ann Sherfield, and Mary Butler in music of Bach. That seems very appropriate, David.
In fact, it was even mentioned, it's like, well, we've got to have Bach on the program somewhere. And we had some selections of, I think, quartets and quintets. And obviously another option would have been for the very opening with this cello solo. So we found this set of dances, the Sarabande and Barre, not from the suites, not from the cello suites, but one of many dances that Bach wrote. Very typical of Bach, and it suits the instrument extremely well.
Would you talk about the kind of dances we have here, Sarabande and Barre, and are they contrasting?
They are contrasting. The Sarabande is a slow Spanish dance, very ancient. I think it goes even almost to the 14th century.
Wow.
And then the Barre is a much more lively dance. The Sarabande as well is a dance that's in 3/4 time, and the Barre is in cut time, so we have kind of a little bit of variety there as well. There's a little contrast, you know, slow and fast and different meters.
When you put a traditional string quartet together, you have violin one, violin two, viola, and cello. With four cellos, does it still break down basically to violin one, violin two, viola, and cello?
Well, With your good arrangers, and the arranger of this one is Laszlo Varga, who is himself a very fine cellist, you don't have to. You can have four cellos. And so you can have it all very, you know, deep. You can actually take all four cellos and raise them all up to first violin. And that could also make it very exciting as well. Because the possibility is there for every single instrument to go from very low to very high.
That and sounds better than a string quartet.
It's a little exciting, yeah. The cello is definitely a different timbre than the violin. A little bit darker, throatier, woodier kind of sound. So it's definitely different. But I think it's a good difference.
And we all love playing. We all love the sound that it makes when the cellos are playing together.
Yeah. So yeah, cellos and Bach and, you know, ensemble, it's a natural fit.
The groups are definitely switching styles left and right here. Has anyone suggested, you know, we should take a performance practice kind of approach to the music in the Bach? Historically informed?
We haven't, not for this one. I think when we get ourselves probably a little bit more established and, you know, find ourselves with more time together as an ensemble, you know, we're all very busy people, and getting eight people's schedules together was a little bit of crazy craziness in that regard. So it certainly is an option. Mm-hmm. I think in the future we might look at it.
But you wouldn't play it super romantically anyway.
No, and that's actually the very fun thing about this program as well. It's in the rehearsing part of it is exploring those different colors. I mean, because, okay, yes, we are all playing cello and we're all playing classically trained. We're all classically trained musicians. So we're all thinking, you know, in that very, you know, German tradition of celloness. And, you know, so when someone comes up with an idea, well, let's try this without vibrato. Let's try this with, you know, a little bit more over the fingerboard kind of sound. Can we do this kind of? So even with four cellos, you know, we do have the large range in the pieces, but we also are going to be doing a lot of different, hopefully a lot of different colors that will really explore all the sounds that the cello can do, not only in Betsy Start's solo piece, but also with the ensembles.
We're going to be talking later this hour about the William Tell Overture, for one, music from Mahler's Symphony No. 1, and the famous and beautiful Bachianus Brasileiris No. 5, which deserves to be picked apart a little bit because he fused some wonderful things in this piece. Moving on in music, however, next we get to the Dvorak, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 performers. David, Betsy Start, Nola Matthews-Thole, Anne Sherfield, and Mary Butler. It's a free concert. A goodwill offering is accepted. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Any comments on the Dvorak piece, Anne?
Well, for me, it's just a really fun piece to play. It's got a lot of rhythmic things to it, and after the slower, especially the first movement of the Bach, this will be more, have a lot more energy, and it's really fun to play.
Let's hear it in the orchestral version. That's music of Antonín Dvořák. We heard a Slavonic dance from the Opus 46 set, Opus 46, number 8 in G minor. And all of the parts in that orchestral piece will be played by five cellos on Sunday at 3 o'clock in a cello explosion performed by Octocelli. It brings together up to 8 cellists in this program, as well as a soprano for the final piece. My guests are cellist David Peschlikai, principal cellist of the Kalamazoo Symphony, and Anne Sherfield, also a longtime cellist in our community. Are you also a teacher, Anne?
I have taught cello. I don't currently have any students. I haven't been doing that right recently, but I have taught cello before.
Mm-hmm. So coming together and playing with cellists, is that a rare event for you, or do you try to do that every chance you get?
Every chance I get, I do it. I've been actually playing with a lot of different friends. Alice Carosis and I played with Grace Field, as I mentioned before. We performed the Papa Requiem several times in town. And when I go to Interlaken, all the cellos there get together at least twice, all of us together. And then we do other groups too, trios and quartets and things like that. So I'm always looking for more cello music.
I would even say, actually, that the group is formed through Anne's very important skills of organizing and desire to get this group together, you know, through that love of playing together. Yeah, she was one of the ones that said, we need to have a cello ensemble.
Well, the public can hear this cello ensemble in person on Sunday for a free will offering at First Baptist Church at 3:00 in downtown Kalamazoo. And are you the person who helps decide on repertoire or pick fine pieces to play, or is that a sort of a group effort?
We all do that together. They did ask me to keep a list of the music that we have, and we have a lot of music. We've not even sight read half of what we have, I don't think.
Yeah, I've provided, you know, obviously my library as well, and I don't think we've hit even half of my library. And there's other libraries as well within the ensemble that are just, yeah, amazing pieces waiting to be played.
And I'm always looking for more. And in fact, in Interlaken, there was one of my colleagues up there, he's a violinist, and he wrote a piece for cello ensemble. I think it's for 6. So anyway, he's going to send it to me. We played it up there. It was beautiful. Yeah. So I thought, you know, that'd be something we can try. So we're always looking for new things.
There's more than enough.
In fact, actually, the next piece for 6 cellos, the Sandpaper Ballet, I found in a music store in Regensburg, Germany.
Well, tell me more about that.
I was just on vacation visiting friends, and I've toured in Regensburg years before that, so I know it's just a beautiful city. And it turns out this little tiny music store, and its back wall is actually the Roman wall.
The city wall of
the original Roman village. I'm just sort of rifling through it, and of all people, Leroy Anderson, the quintessential American composer, is sitting in this little Bavarian music store and for cello ensemble. So, of course, I bought it because, you know, that's what cellists do.
Yeah, get excited about,
get very
about
excited
dots
about it. Yeah.
On paper.
Yeah.
Very yep. excited.
And it turns out, yeah, it ends up being a very fun piece on the program as well.
Now, is this David Popper also a German, or is he from somewhere else?
Hungarian.
Hungarian cellist.
Hungarian cellist, yeah.
Now, you've mentioned this Requiem a couple of times. Is this a 19th century piece?
Definitely a romantic piece. Slow.
It's very slow. It goes pretty high, too.
Goes very high. Yeah.
And very rhythmic. It's got a lot of difficult rhythmic passages.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's pretty much a staple in the cello ensemble repertoire.
So if you are a cello fan, you'll hear the name David Popper a lot.
If you're a cellist, you will definitely hear the name David Popper. Aside from the Requiem, as he wrote a whole set of etudes that are like our Bible.
So with that and Bach, you've got your hands full.
Yes, yes, yes. I'm very glad for it as well.
My guests once again are cellists David Peschlikai and Anne Sherfield, and other musicians on this concert include Carol Bullock Russell, Elizabeth Start, Nola Matthews Thole, Mary Butler, Luke Cook, and Sylvia Sidorane, and they're all together on Sunday at 3:00, a program that brings together a lot of very busy schedules in order to celebrate the cello. You mentioned that we were going to feature a piece by Leroy Anderson, Sandpaper Ballet. Leroy Anderson is not known for serious, dark requiems at all, is he?
No. Like I said as well, this is a very fun piece. We're just having a lot of fun with it, with the various sounds, and we get to like tap our instruments on it. So it's definitely a different kind of piece.
Well, here it is from a recording by the Rochester Pops, Eric Hunzel conducting. Well, it wouldn't be Leroy Anderson without the slide whistle, would it?
Exactly.
A very fun piece. If you tuned in during the music, that's the Sandpaper Ballet. Now, is someone doing a soft shoe during this performance?
We didn't think, you know, applying sandpaper to cellos would be a good thing. So we kind of switched it around a little bit, and we'll be doing some tapping of the cellos instead.
Oh, good.
But it's still a good effect, and I think it will be very amusing for the audience as well.
Like we were saying before, there's just such a variety of styles from music and what looks like chant before that, a piece by Casals called O Vos Omnes. I mean, that looks like a very old sort of text.
It's a beautiful hymn. Pablo Casals, another famous cellist, a fabulous musician and humanitarian, but his great claim for us, at least, is getting the Bach suites performed on the concert stage. Before, they were used kind of as etudes or studies, and he was the one that really said, no, these are great works of art and need to be on the stage. But he also was a composer and wrote this beautiful hymn, which of course, you know, fits the cello so well. It's a sublime piece, and then from that we go from the sublime to the ridiculous with Leroy Anderson.
And how many cellos in the ensemble at this point in the program?
There'll be six of us on the stage, so we've got two more players to find their way to stage.
How about, is there a piece for seven?
Seven is an odd number,
it is.
We had to look very hard. Betsy found a great arrangement from the William Tell Overture. And there's that great cello opening. So I thought, okay, well, that, you know, just do that cello opening. But it's the entire overture.
Wow. So this is a 12-minute piece.
Yeah, so it is a very substantial piece. So it'll be nice to actually have, you know, most of the pieces are a little bit on the shorter side. So it'll be nice to have something fairly substantial on the program. But it does require that someone play the famous flute and English horn solo. And then there's that famous trumpet tune and horn call at the end in the finale. And so the arranger of this piece has us all over the instruments, you know, high notes, low notes, fast notes, slow notes. It's all there in even that one piece.
Well, that morning theme of,
exactly.
On a woodwind, it's a matter of putting keys down and up and for your crossing strings, I would think, all over the place.
Crossing strings all over the place, exactly. It's definitely give us a big workout and appreciation of the other instruments, that's for sure.
Well, good. That's all we want. Really, this is a celebration of the cello and the art of this instrument, which can go from the very highest of highs to the lowest of lows. As David said, it can cover from soprano to bass. and A Cello Explosion is the name of this program. It starts at 3 o'clock on Sunday at First Baptist Church, with David playing a lot of the lead melodies in this overture. Maybe Anne, you could tell us about the parts that accompany it and what kind of work some of the rest of you are doing.
Well, the nice thing about most of these arrangements is that the melody line moves around a lot. David has usually the harder parts, and he often starts the pieces with the melody, but the melody moves around so that all of us get an opportunity to play the melody.
Yeah, it's a full symphonic arrangement, and obviously one person can't play the symphony. So, yeah, all the other parts of, you know, all the parts of the symphony are covered by all seven of us cellos.
You were saying a good arrangement will not just relegate high parts to one person and middle parts to another and low parts to another, that it really does get bounced around.
Right, it does. It gets bounced around, and so it makes it more interesting for all of us to do that.
In fact, actually, the next piece that we play, when we have eight cellos, is a really great example of that. The Mahler Symphony number 1, the third movement, the slow movement, the famous Frère Jacques in the minor key. So everyone gets the melody in this one. And so it'll be, yeah, it's definitely equal treatment for that piece.
We'll hear just a couple minutes of that here. And we still have Bachianas Brasileiras as a treat at the end of this hour. Again, the concert is Sunday at 3 o'clock. Un so fighter, as George Schulte would say, and so forth. Elizabeth Start did this arrangement, too, of the Mahler's third movement.
A slight modification, just to make sure that everyone did, in fact, have the theme. So, yes, hers is kind of the latest rendition of it. But then we finally get eight cellos on the stage with that piece. But then the final piece, we get to add soprano, Caitlin Spencer, and finish off the program with Bachianas Brasileiras number 5, the famous aria movement from that.
Now, Heitor Villa-Lobos was born in the 20th century, probably in the teens, in Brazil, and had folk music around him all the time. Became acquainted with the music of European composers and Bach culturally, I think, and by actually studying in Europe?
I believe, yes. I think he studied with, like everyone else at that time, Nadia Boulanger. So
there you go.
Probably, yeah. And she was definitely famous for having, you know, so many composition or composers and helping them find their voice. And they all certainly, you know, are so different from each other. She must have been an amazing teacher. But yeah, the Bachianas Brasileiras, kind of as the name implies, it's sort of a musical experiment that Villa-Lobos had with what would happen, what would music sound like had Bach lived in Brazil. So there's a lot of contrapuntalness, but there's also a lot of very native folk melody kind of influence from this one. And the aria is probably one of the most famous examples of this Bachianas experiment.
Caitlin Spencer is the soprano for this. We should make a note of that. She's a wonderful soprano.
Yes, and she's been such a delight to work with this program as well.
She's a really world-class musician that lives in our community. We're lucky to have her. And I'd say without further ado, here's music from Bachianas Brasileiras number 5. You'll know this piece. Certainly worth going for. We're at the only piece on the program. Thank you, David. Thank you, Anne.
Thank you.
Thank you.